You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In northern Mexican towns, getting by is a daily struggle. Filmmaker Natalia Almada, a sixth-generation Sinaloan, has documented the changing ideas of a younger generation who find it more viable to traffic drugs or cross the border illegally than to try to survive within the system at home. The film, Al Otro Lado, will be airing on PBS on August 1st, and I'm very pleased it has brought Natalia Almada to my show today. Hello.
Hello.
What was Sinaloa like when your parents were your age?
What was very different, I think it was much Culiacan, which is the capital, which is a much smaller place, and my family was in the sugar business. My grandfather had a sugar refinery and worked in agriculture in Sinaloa at the time, but it was very different.
But agriculture was, in fact, Sinaloa was the major agricultural center in Mexico, wasn't it? And also there was a lot of fishing because it has a long seacoast. Why are there problems there now?
Well, there's, you know, an economic crisis in Mexico, and especially with NAFTA, for example, in the cattle industry, which is what my father does, we're importing beef from the United States and we can't compete. And so you're finding that for the fishermen who are the subject of the film, for example, not only is there, environmental problems, but then on top of that, the price of their shrimp has gone down. They can't sell their shrimp. And so they're finding that they can't get by fishing anymore. And there's a lot more competition. It's grown a lot.
Now, why can't they compete economically? After all, Mexicans don't earn as much as people in this country. Why are they losing out in the price war?
I wish I had all the answers, really. In the fishing industry particularly, you have such a huge growth. So on the one hand, each fisherman just can't – there's too many fishermen and not enough fish, in a sense.
And what role has Sinaloa come to play in the drug trade?
Sinaloa has, for many, many years sort of been the center of the drug trade of Mexico. And if you look at all the head capos of, the big drug trafficking, they've all been from Sinaloa. And, this dates way, way back.
Just because of the seacoast, it's really easy to smuggle drugs?
The smuggling through the seacoast wasn't always, it was more popular, say, in the 80s or 90s. It's not that long that they've been trafficking along the coast. But in the Sierra is where opium has been grown for many generations. And we've always had, it's always also been a bridge from Colombia and Central and South America in the trafficking of drugs to the United States.
So has drug trafficking become an acceptable occupation?
Well, what I would say is we look at drug trafficking in Mexico a little bit differently, and I should say in Sinaloa specifically, differently than in the United States. Here it's very much, we look at the consequences of drug consumption in our communities and of the violence and of the drug abuse that happens. And so it's a moral issue in this country. Whereas in Mexico, in a place like Sinaloa, especially in a rural community in the mountains, it's a job. So if you're deciding between growing beans or some sugar or, growing marijuana or opium, you might be better off growing the, more profitable crop. And the traffickers have traditionally sort of really helped their communities. And these little communities in rural Mexico that have been excluded from the government's support, that's many times been the traffickers who provide, the schools, the hospitals, the roads. And that's why they become the heroes of these songs.
And well, the songs are songs that are, I don't know how to describe them, but they're almost like they serve the same function that Calypso has served. People make up the lyrics on the spot, often telling the news of the day.
Yeah, the corrido, it's over 200 years old, and it's always been a chronicle or like a musical newspaper. And they used to sing songs about the revolutionary heroes like Pancho Villa or Zapata. And, the contemporary corrido, the two most common themes that you'll find are about the immigrants and about traffickers. And because, in a sense, these are people who've beat the system and they help their communities and they make it despite all the hardships that they face.
And is this all throughout Mexico or more likely in places like Sinaloa?
It's
in northern Mexico.
The music is most popular in northern Mexico, and it's actually called norteño music often. So it's really a northern, it exists all over Mexico, but it's strongest in the north.
Now, Sinaloa is on the west coast of Mexico, and it faces Baja, the part of it anyway. There's that bay. But it's not on the American border. So people who are engaged in drug trafficking or who are trying to sneak into the United States illegally, they actually have to go through another state of Mexico, don't they?
Yeah, it's not that close. We're just south of Sonora, so you have the border, and then you have Sonora, and then you have Sinaloa. So people who are immigrating, you know, to cross the United States do have quite a journey to make. It's, you know, I guess from Culiacan, maybe a 19-hour drive or something to the border.
And is that move something, or is the route pretty easy?
There's a highway, so there are buses and there's a road. It's not that complicated to get to the border.
We were talking about corridos. Who is Chalino Sanchez, and what's his significance to your story?
Well, Chalino Sanchez is one of, the two big corrido superstars, and he really made it in Los Angeles more than in Mexico. He's from Sinaloa, from a little rancho, you know, a little farm, you know, in the rural area of Sinaloa, and he went to Los Angeles and then went back to Mexico, and he was murdered. And when Chalino was murdered in the 90s, sort of these kids in L.A., Mexican kids who had sort of been trying to assimilate through, you know, African-American music, whether it was a gangster rap or through African-American culture, they sort of took back their roots, and they started listening to corrido music, dressing, you know, with the cowboy hat and the cowboy boots, you know, in a very sort of Chalino style, very Mexican. And it was sort of this way of, you know, taking back their roots in a very traditional Mexican way.
But now there's been a kind of a fusion with rap, hasn't there?
Well, there's a great fusion, which I don't go into too much in the film, but you have all these young kids, Mexican kids in L.A., who are sort of combining rap with corrido music. And, you know, they're similar, not in their sound, but in terms of their lyrics, they're very similar.
My guest is Natalia Almada, whose film Al Otro Lado, The Other Side, is airing on PBS on Tuesday, August 1st at 10 p.m. The main character in your story is Magdiel. Can you tell us about him? How'd you meet him?
Well, Magdiel, he's a 23-year-old kid from a family of fishermen. And I met him when I was filming already in the factory where they make the fishing boats. And it was funny because I was interested in the boats because as the boats were getting bigger, the fishing was diminishing. So there was this funny contradiction. And he was the nephew of the owner. And so I started interviewing him, and he said he was sort of at that crossroads in his life where he said, you know, I tried to get a visa to go to the United States. I was denied a visa. So I'm thinking about, you know, crossing illegally, or possibly, you know, all my friends who are trafficking kind of say I can, you know, that's the other temptation. And he's kind of at this crossroads. And then one day he meets a coyote, a pollero, who are these people who help people cross the border, who says, you know, if you write a song about me, I'll take you to the other side for free. And so that was sort of the clincher for my film.
And he starts writing corridos.
He was already writing corridos, and he writes a corrido about this coyote.
Now, could he have recorded in Mexico? Is there a career for somebody who writes corridos?
There is, but the people who've made it really big have made it big in the United States. Like Los Tigres del Norte, who Elijah Wald, who wrote this fabulous book called Narco Corrido, you know, I was interviewing him once, and he said, you know, Los Tigres are like Willie Nelson and the Rolling Stones combined. And they made it in the United States, and they're in the film. But they also crossed illegally. They're from Sinaloa. So Magdiel, you know, kind of sees them as an example and says, you know, if I can only make it the way they did. And that idea is I can make it in the United States where the industry's bigger and I have more of a chance of being recorded.
But Magdiel has not tried his hand at drug trafficking because he doesn't want to do something illegal. I mean, obviously he crossed the border illegally.
Well, he doesn't, I think he doesn't do the, well, one of the things he says in the film is all my drug trafficking friends tell me that my job is to write songs. So it's actually his friends who tell him, you know, you don't want to do this. What you need to do is write songs and write songs about what we do.
The debate over immigration rarely deals with the whole matter of how to relieve the desperation and improve the standard of living in Mexico so families don't feel the need to traffic in drugs or to cross the border illegally.
Definitely. And I think one of the things that the film tries to point out is sort of that the immigration issue is a problem for both countries and a problem that needs to be dealt at from the root, as opposed to, you know, building this wall to divide both countries. It's really something where in Mexico we need to create more opportunities for people to stay and for somebody like Magdiel to say, okay, I can make it in my country and I can better my country, as opposed to wanting to leave.
What percentage of the young people in a place like Sinaloa would have tried to make the crossing?
It's super common. I mean, what you find, I don't know a statistic, but what you find is everybody you talk to has either done it, thought of it, or has friends and family who are in the United States.
And sometimes they come back. They go back and forth. So it seems a lot easier than I would have imagined. I always thought this is one of the most dangerous things to do.
Well, it's not that it's not dangerous. There are a lot of people who are dying on the border, and that's the great injustice. But I think there's people aren't quite aware of how dangerous it is in a lot of cases. So Magdiel, for example, when he leaves, he doesn't really know what the journey is going to entail or what life is going to be like when he gets to the United States. You know, he has, you know, vague sort of romantic notions of what it's going to be like, but he doesn't really know.
In fact, most people have no idea what awaits them here. Obviously, stardom is a pretty hard thing to pull off under even the best of circumstances. Dishwashing job or something equivalent is much more likely.
Definitely. It's more likely he'll work on a farm or, if you know, if he makes it. But what's interesting for me to think about, there are a lot of great films made about life of immigrants in the United States, like The Sixth Section or Farmingville. But, you know, for Magdiel, what was interesting to me in the film is to look at sort of the background of that. Like, what's the situation that leads people to make this decision? And sort of, it's a very sad thing to have to leave your country and your family because you want a job.
It's interesting that most of the people from Sinaloa wind up, because it's on the West Coast, wind up in Los Angeles. And most of the people who come to New York are from Puebla on the East Coast of Mexico. But you've lived in New York for how many years?
I've been in New York for 5 years.
How did you wind up here?
Well, my mother's American, so I've always lived half and half between Mexico and the United States, and I did my master's at the Rhode Island School of Design. So New York was the next logical step.
The film was an official selection at the Tribeca Film Festival. Is this your first film?
It's my first feature-length documentary. I made a short called All Water Has a Perfect Memory. So this is my first long documentary.
And here you are at film festivals now being shown on PBS. So that's still a rough road to hoe, isn't it? Making documentary films?
Well, it's definitely not easy, but I absolutely, you know, I love it. It's the process of making the films and being a part of these people's lives. And I work as an editor, so, you know, editing the film and sort of creating the narrative and the story and the characters, it's...
Has this film been shown back in your hometown?
It's been shown a lot in Mexico. It's been seen almost all over the country, which is really exciting.
And now you have a chance to see it on August 1st at 10 p.m. on PBS, Al Otro Lado by Natalia Almada. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.